Blog Talk Radio.
I know that you all are very happy. I know we are happy. And welcome to this edition of Christian Talk. It's called TNT Time with T. Meyer and Tasila. Hello, Tasila. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. What about yourself?
I'm nice and spiffy and up and happy and everything, all that good stuff. I'm doing very well.
All right.
And also,
sounds good. Sounds like you're blessed.
Oh, yeah. Blessed and, as everybody say, highly favored. I would like for all of you to pick up your phones and grab your computers and go to your inbox or text your family members and friends and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. Be sure to tell them that. Tell them to dial 646-668-8537 or just click on the picture of or the link on Facebook, and you can listen for tonight, and you can listen to it from your computer. And really, basically, you can listen all this whole week. If you see the post, you can just click on the on whatever pictures there on the post or the link of the post and just listen to it for the whole week. All righty, in case you missed it or you want to go back over it again. All righty. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Now, don't forget that we have a TV broadcast on hsbn.tv. It's called The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain. And we're also on many of the other apps and platforms and medias. You can see us on Facebook, YouTube, many others. You know, it'd take all day pretty much for me to name them all, but we're there. Praise the Lord. Okay, so just put in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain and go to YouTube. Put that in, and you can click on whatever program you want to see. We have several of them that we have, so you can just click on any one of them. And also, if you're looking for a place to worship, come and worship with us at Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786, every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Once again, it's Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Man, I think we have a pretty good topic tonight that we're going to be discussing, and it's going to, I think, enlighten a lot of people. It's really pretty good. I'm actually excited about it. And so everybody stay where you are, and we'll be right back Praise the Lord.
Need to know why Jesus came. Broken homes and broken people needing love in Jesus' name. Where his hands and where his feet, his body made of many parts. As we choose to work together, we can heal these wounded hearts. Jesus said to feed the hungry and to give the thirsty drink. When we serve the poor among us, we do more than what we think. Jesus said to house the homeless, clothe the naked, feed the poor, visit those who are in prison, for it's him we do it for.
It's about time to come together. Here, but there's more people outside. We're the light of the world, and it's time we let it shine. Darkness everywhere, some are losing their minds. We put God in the songs, and we put God in the rhymes. It's time that we stand together, so get up on your feet and show people the love of Christ. That's what they want to see.
All right. Praise the Lord. You're welcome. Praise the Lord. You're listening to TNT Time on Christian Talk with T. Myron Tasila. And we're about to have a good time. Well, wait, hold on. What's this? What, do you hear that? Oh. TNT moment. Actually, the whole show is a TNT moment because it's TNT time on Christian Talk. So, Pastor Tasila, what are we talking about today?
Oh, we're talking to the overcomers. We're looking in Zechariah 4:6 that says, "This is the word of the Lord, not by might and nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." That's the key we overcome by, the word and the words of our testimony, and by the blood of the Lamb. Well, the book of Revelation speak to him that overcomes. But what are we overcoming? We are overcoming many besets or obstacles in our way. Mm-hmm. Besets are plagues, hounds, worries, attacks, encompasses, infests, assailants, bugs, harassments, and obsessions or obstructions. So these are the things that can come and go and surround your life. And Hebrews 12:1, the Lord says, puts it like this. He says, lay aside every weight. That means to put it away, cast it away, every weight. Stop and think. What weight? Burdens, problems, hurts,
bruises, pain, debt, habits, sins, addictions, bad memories. Oh, let's get to bad memories. You know, Satan torments people with memories or with things that should happen that hasn't even happened yet. They're tormented by what might happen. And those are the things you have to bring, cast down all those thoughts, because those are tormenting spirits trying to torment you. Sometimes I have to think to myself, well, what would be the end result if that did happen? Is that worth worrying about? Because sometimes if you go to the end of the problem, what would happen? Okay, you probably will have some inhalation or some this or that or something might happen. But that would be the end. So what you have to go not allow the enemy to beat you with what ifs. Everything that is a weight on you must be overcome. Political systems, religious systems, the systems that worship money, the systems that worship people and put humans above God like idols. God refers to them as weights. Why does God refer to idols like weights? Because it drags you down and out of your place with him, and it puts a weight on you. It's something that you're looking up, looking at above him. In the beginning of almost every year, we all have done this. Most people try to take a look at their lives in order to change some of their besets and better ourselves. But in little or no time, we all know what happens. It's back to the same routine. But by Jesus only can we overcome these besets. The word says, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great of a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. That's mental weight, physical weight, spiritual weight. The Lord is telling you how to fight back. Put it aside. Lay it at his feet. You know, a lot of times we get a lot of calls from people saying things, and Pastor and I are human. So you take it in, but you put it at the feet of the Lord. You take it in enough only to pray about it, and then you leave it at God's feet. You can't just carry this stuff around. At some point, you got to learn how to trust God. That's part of trusting God, letting go, and not allowing yourself to be weighed down, and especially with the sins, do it so easily beset us. You know, even your own sins sometimes, that people have strongholds and they're trapped in certain things. You put it at God's feet. You sincerely put it there. And then wait and ask God to help you to be relieved from that. And the Lord sees that and he honors that and he loves the fact that you're trusting him. That's faith. That type of trust, that's faith. And it says, and let us run the race that is set before us with patience. Oh, my goodness. We try to get ahead of the Lord so much all the time. And God is telling us to be patient. Wait on him. Follow him. Let him guide us. Sometimes we like to take the reins and move it along ourselves. And it all says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He began a good work in us, and he's going to finish it because he's the boss. And it says, even Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame that was set down at his right hand of the throne of God. He overcame as a man would have to show you that you can overcome too. The Bible also speaks of this great cloud of legal witnesses around us. They are here to take and record or to take note of what they see because they see it as it happens. Here we see that they are a great cloud of witnesses around us, cheering us on. They want to see us make it, just like the Lord wants to see us make it. A lot of times people think the Lord is against them and he doesn't like them because he knows they did A, B, C, D. But God paid for that, and he is cheering you on. He wants to see you make it
to the end. Jesus told us already in Matthew 11:30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The Lord is telling us to learn. What is he saying? To learn. See how he reacts to everything. Take on the way that he sees things, the way he reacts to things. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Again, that's his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He wants us to give him our ugly, our sadness, our depression, our weights, our burdens, our problems, our hurts, our bruises, our pains, our debts, our habits, and trauma. And some of you have had some bad times out there in your life, and nobody is belittling your bad times and the things that you've gone through. But you cannot continue to relive them. You can't keep going over and over and over it again. Let it go. That happened in the 70s. It happened in the 60s. It happened, you know, way back. The other day, a guy was telling us how his sister is like 80 years old, and every time he talks to her, she goes back to what happened in their childhood. You can't keep reliving all those things. Those things cause besets. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. And stop making excuses for your bad habits. Jesus doesn't like excuses for sin because he knows what he has already provided for us. Jesus wants us to take up what he paid for us. He went to the cross, and what he paid for us on that cross is really big because it doesn't need any more to it. We don't need to worry to add to it to make it stick. He already paid for it. We can be yoked with him, and he will help us as we go through this life of trials and overcome. Now, you cannot be a Christian without Christ. That is one of the main problems. A lot of times people want to say, I'm a Christian, I'm with the Lord, but they never seek the Lord's face. They don't talk to him. They don't read. They don't pray. And they go to church whenever they want. But when you ask, they'll say, yeah, I'm a Christian. That's why a lot of you are struggling, because you're trying to be a Christian without Christ, without the head of the church. Once I knew a pastor that saw a vision of Jesus, and he saw just the head of Jesus, and Jesus said to him, he said, I am, is unlovely this way. Jesus is unlovely without his body. Jesus wants his body. You are the body of Christ. None of us can fulfill the plan of God has for us without him. So it would behoove us to partner up with Jesus, our great warrior king that overcame all these things. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, and he also did promise us that if we do overcome, that we will have great blessings. One of them, he said, that we will eat from the tree of life in paradise. We will not be hurt by the second death. And if we overcome, we will be able to eat of the hidden manna and receive a new name written on our white stone to rule the nations with him, with the rod of iron, and receive the morning star, which is him. You will be clothed in white garments, and he will not blot out your name from the book of life, but the Lord will confess your name before the Father and his angels. You will become a pillar in the temple of God, and the name you will have will be New Jerusalem. You will sit with the Lord on his throne as he overcame and sat with the Father. Isn't that so beautiful? In the Greek, the expression to overcome means to be victorious. Many of the generals of the faith throughout biblical history that we've all known and read about discovered a higher place in God through their trials that they overcame. A lot of times people get upset because they're going through, and then they keep a list of it too. I don't. Something happened. It's like, it's over, Lord. Thank you. Goodbye. I don't want to think about it no more. I don't want to keep a list. I want to keep moving. Because you can't. That is like a weight, like a beset. When you go, and then this happened. Then after that, this happened. I mean, I had like 5 people die in a row. I don't like talking about it. I don't want to go over it. And a lot of things happen in between that. But you don't want to keep going over what happened because you want to win. You don't want in your mind when you're running the race to think, continually keep saying, I'm out of breath. I'm out of breath. You can't say that. You got to say, I got to make it. I'm almost there. One more lap and I'm almost there. You encourage yourself in the Lord. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, throughout the biblical history, the generals, they found a higher place in God through their trials. And presently, there are a number of people right now that are emerging as victorious ones, having overcame diverse circumstances, that have trained and developed their character. You are to be on the lookout for God's manifested sons of God. There is some beautiful people in this world that God has built, that he has placed his spirit and his heart and his mind into. The overcomers on earth, it's going to be a group of overcomers on earth before there's a group that you see in the heavens. And there is a maturity that follows overcomers that the enemy can no longer penetrate. They have learned that not only do they follow the Lamb everywhere he goes, that the Lamb has taken up residence in them, relieving them from no longer becoming a target, but a warrior bride. That's what God wants to see in his body. He wants to see you become a warrior, no longer a victim, but a warrior. Psalms 144:1 says, blessed be the Lord, my rock. He trains my hands to war and gives my fingers skill for battle. Now that's you. If you became now after this, and God has blessed you and given your hands war and given your fingers skill for battle, you become a threat to the enemy because you are an overcomer. It is God alone who gives you strength for the battle. He is my shelter of love. He is my defender and my savior, my shield and my protection. That's what you will be saying instead of I'm out of breath. And when the enemy comes in as a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And remember, it's his might. And the Lord will fight for you. In Ephesians, we are told to conduct ourselves as children of light. Ephesians 5:7 says, therefore, be not partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are in light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. You know, there's a scripture that says that the Lord looks from heaven and he bends down to see if there's any that care about the things that he cares about. Are they trying to learn what's pleasing to me? That's what we should be caring about. But it says the surest evidence of an overcomer, the bride of Christ, will be the clear evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. That's how you're going to know those that are among you. This place in God qualifies us for the supernatural endowment of the 7 spirits of God and empowers us for the harvest. Display of his character is ultimately pleasing to the Lord. Find out what pleases God and the reflection of his light that we must possess to be an overcomer. So keep your eyes on him, and that's what you reflect, him. And in doing so, he will make you an overcomer. Right, Brother T?
Absolutely right. Don't go away, everybody. We'll be right back after this.
A love so perfect. Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love. Would you like to know His love is perfect? Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love.
That love.
'Cause He knows what I feel inside.
He touches places
I try so hard to hide.
Those broken spaces
that once made up my life.
Love lifts the darkness
with His overwhelming light. Perfect love. Perfect love, God is. He is perfect love. Perfect love. Perfect love, God is. He is perfect love. Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love.
Would you like to know His love is perfect?
Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love.
His love is so perfect.
'Cause He gave and restored my life. He won my battle and my fight.
Those fallen moments
when I thought I would not survive.
His love protects me,
failing at no time.
Perfect love.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Perfect love. You're listening to Christian Talk, and it's TNT time on Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. The question is asked, what does it mean to overcome? To overcome in the natural means to succeed in dealing with a problem or difficulty. It means to defeat an opponent or prevail. It means to overpower or overwhelm. And this could be that you overcame drugs, anger, or a very hard time in your life. But what God calls overcoming is a bit different. It's similar, but still more powerful. We overcome with the Lord when we submit to him and his perfect will. Like Jacob, for example, who first wrestled with the Lord. The Bible says that he wrestled with a man, but we know that that man was God himself. Jacob finally realized this, that he was wrestling with God after they had been wrestling for a while. Jacob wrestled with the Lord just as we sometimes wrestle with the Lord ourselves, just to get our way. We fight against him. We rebel against him. We run from him, all because we want to do our own thing and have things our way. But when we stop wrestling and learn to hold on to him, then we become overcomers because we learned how to submit to him. Genesis 32, verses 24 through 28. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. They wrestled all day because Jacob's will was very strong. And when he, God, saw that he prevailed not against him, against Jacob, he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. He just touched it as he wrestled with him. And he, God, said, let me go, for the day breaketh. This is the Lord talking to Jacob, telling him, let me go. Now, God didn't really want Jacob to actually let him go. He wanted him to do what he did, and that was to hold on to him. And he said, Jacob said, I will not let you go except you bless me. And that's what the Lord wanted. The Lord came to Jacob in the first place as a man to bless him. But Jacob, you know, being Jacob, he was afraid, and he just started fighting this guy, not knowing he was fighting the Lord. After Jacob realized he was wrestling with God, he stopped fighting with the Lord and began to hold on to the Lord, something we must learn to do, especially in this hour. He said unto him, what is your name? God said to Jacob, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Jacob prevailed because he submitted. He had to learn submission. He had to learn how to submit to God, and he did. He was an overcomer. There's great reward when we overcome in the Lord. Jacob was called Israel, which means a prince who rules with God or God's fighter. Although this was a name given to Jacob, it was also spiritual. It was prophetic because the one who was coming, who shall truly be the prince who rules with God or God's fighter, would be Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God himself. We too, when we overcome, we shall have the power to become the sons of God once we ourselves have surrendered to God totally. We must overcome, but what are we overcoming? We are overcoming the world, Satan and his demons, and their subliminal suggestions, their temptations, their manipulations, their strongholds of sicknesses and diseases and fears, and their lies and deceits. We are to overcome the will of mankind. We are not to submit to man's will above God's word. We are not to believe and give in to man's lies and deceits, their cons, their doctrines or false teachings, their philosophies, their concepts. ideas and opinions. We cannot give in to man's false and worldly deceptions within their religions and in politics. We are not to put our total trust in science, government, and medicine because it has all been corrupted. We are to also overcome our own selfish desires, our own evil ways, which means that we have to truly repent of our sins, our inward sins, as well as our outward sins. And we must forsake the mindset and temptations of the world. We truly have to learn to submit to God and resist the devil. The overcomers are those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, and then they wholeheartedly obey the Lord. What is our reward for being overcomers? Pastor Tasila named a few of them, and I'm going to name a few right now. Here is our reward. We will be able to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God. That means eternal life. We will not be hurt of the second death, which is the lake of fire. We will eat of the spiritual food, the hidden bread or manna, and we will receive a white stone. A white stone means that you have access to places that no one else can enter, not even the angels. You have great favor in the sight of God. God will give you a new name, which means that you will have a new heavenly identity. You will be identified with Christ before the host of heaven and be honored. All will know you, even the universe and all of the heavens and the earth. We will receive power over the nations, and we shall receive the morning star. This is the outraying of Jesus Christ. The light that Adam lost in the beginning, this light is the light of Jesus Christ being in us and rising up from within us. It'll be in us, around us, through us, and rising up from within us. We become the light of the world in housing his light. The Lord will clothe us with his clothing, which is his robes of righteousness, clean and white. Our names will be written in the Lamb's book of life and shall be there forever. We shall have crowns and be made a pillar in the temple of our God, which means we will have powerful positions. We will have God's name, which means we will have everything. We will have the name of the New Jerusalem, which is the city of peace. That means that we will be God's people of peace, and we will have the name of Jesus Christ upon us, which are all the names of God upon us and in us, which is his authority. We will sit with Jesus in his throne, for he will make us kings and priests, and we shall reign with him forever. People will come and fall at our feet in order to worship God because they will see Christ in us of a truth. That and much, much more is our reward if we remain faithful to the Lord. Hear his word and follow his commands in this hour. As long as we deny our flesh and stand up for righteousness and not move to the right hand or to the left, but stay in the center of God's perfect will, when we get to the place that we love not our very own lives unto the death, which means that we will surrender our very lives for the Lord if that's what he wants, because we realize that our lives in this realm is not as important as his will and his word, and we are willing to die for it. That, my brothers and sisters, is when you know that you truly, totally, and wholeheartedly love God. And that's what makes you an overcomer. Praise the Lord. You know, Pastor Tasila, is so important for us to overcome in this hour because there's so many things coming against us, and in particularly the enemy that wants us to get off track. wants us not to finish our course. We're all on a course. We're on a straight and narrow pathway. Some people are on a broad pathway that leads to destruction. But those who have made up their mind to follow the Lord have entered or have stepped on the straight and narrow pathway, and it leads directly to God himself, God the Father himself. And that pathway is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So he is the path that we walk on, we stand on, we believe in. We stand on his word, because he is the word of God. And no matter what comes our way, we stand on that word. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. As the scripture says, we walk by faith and not by sight, because our hearts are fixed on the Lord, fixed on Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And we continue to move forward in him. That's what we do. You want to overcome? Stay with the Lord. Connect yourself to him. Stay with him. And be not moved. Stay right here. We'll be right back. Praise the Lord.
Have to die, no.
Change your heart
so you
Yes, yes, yes. The Lord is the deliverer. He is our Savior. And, you know, I remember, Pastor Tasila, I remember, do you remember, what's his name? I don't know why his name just slipped my mind, and I had it. I had it on my mind already. But James Robertson. You remember James Robertson? You might be on mute. I can't hear you. Well, anyway.
Okay. Here I am.
Oh, there she
is. I do remember James Robertson.
Well, James Robinson, he had a situation that he had a problem with lust, and he admitted it. He wrote a book about it. He had a serious problem with lust, him and another pastor friend of his. And they would talk about it and how it was really bothering them, even in his ministry. He would try to preach and he'd see people, and these thoughts and all of this stuff would come upon him. And he had a very hard time with that for a long time. And he, but he fell down before the Lord, and he just kept, he put all of that at the foot of Jesus, and he stayed there and kept praying for deliverance to deliver him from that. How can he preach to God's people if his mind, and he's looking at people and lusting after them and all of that? So he kept doing that, and then finally one day, boom, he got delivered. Completely,
you know, that's interesting.
Totally delivered. Huh?
That you're saying, that's interesting that you're saying that. I hope you can hear me, because James Robertson was a product of a rape. His father raped his mother, and then obviously his father had that problem also with those same spirits. So he was under the influence of generational bloodline spirits that was there, that was tormenting him, and praise God, God broke that. And a lot of times some people are caught in generational bloodline spirits that are the accuser of the brethren. And that all makes sense, you know, actually, when you look at it.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Because he is a product of a rape.
That's true. That's true. And then, but he didn't give up. He stayed before the Lord and just had faith that God would deliver him, and the Lord delivered him. And then he went to his friend, and they were at some service, and he walked over to his friend and whispered in his ear and said, "I'm delivered." And his friend turned and looked at him, because, you know, they had this, because they both had this problem, and they talked about it quite often, as a matter of fact. And he said, "I'm totally delivered." And his friend couldn't wait to go to him and find out what happened, you know. And he just told him that how he stayed before the Lord and just wouldn't give up, you know. He submitted everything to the Lord. He surrendered everything, that part of his body, his soul, his mind. He surrendered all of that to the Lord, and he ministered to his friend. And then the next thing you know, the friend did the same thing that James Robertson did, and he got delivered. And they were both very happy about that, and was able to continue their, you know, the ministry for the Lord without any distractions, without any interruptions, without anything trying to pull them off
torment.
Track. And you were right. Yeah, without the torment. And see, and that's the problem with many men in this hour. You see, we surrender a lot of things to the Lord, but certain things we try to hold on to, and we want to wrestle the Lord over it. The Lord wants you to submit everything, surrender everything to him. But certain things men hold on to. Women do the same thing. They hold on to it as well. But especially when it comes to sexual things, it seems like men have a hard time letting go of these of the sexual things. I'll give up this, Lord, I'll give up that, but you know, I'm not ready to give this up. And then they get deceived by demons that's telling them, well, this is just who you are, you know, and so they believe it. Well, this is just who I am. So they surrendered everything else. You know, they come to the Lord, they stop drinking, they stop smoking, they stop all the violence and all of that kind of stuff, but they don't stop the lusting, they don't stop the fornication, they still do those type of things, and adultery. They still do those things because they haven't surrendered completely to the Lord, and they haven't overcome that particular thing in their lives. But when they do make up their mind and go before the Lord and lay this thing at his feet, because like you said, Pastor Tasila, the Lord says, I died for that, you know? I died for you to put that at my feet. I overcame that for you, so you're an overcomer already. Just lay it at my feet and leave it there, you know? And once they start doing that and stop wrestling with the Lord, people will be over, they will be delivered. And a lot of pastors have that problem. They can't seem to keep their hands off of women, and they can't seem to stop messing with them and fornicating and committing adultery with them, because they've allowed that spirit to overtake them. And many of them have gotten in trouble, you know?
Right, and I saw an article today where 50% of pastors are on pornography, and that starts the problem, and they don't get off. It starts at 12 and 11 and all that, and then instead of giving that to the Lord, like you're saying, it just continues as part of their life because they feel like it's normal and natural, and it's not, and it causes problems spiritually.
Right.
Because it gives the enemy a legal right, and it keeps a doorway open in your life, and it keeps the enemy being able to torment you and have something. Like Jesus said, you have nothing on me. And Jesus made sure he told the enemy that, because you don't have anything on me. You have nothing in me. Nothing about you is in me. And so because of those doorways and that thing being able to remain, then the enemy is allowed to torment them and stop the furtherance of the kingdom of God from flowing from them. It's the reason why a lot of people don't stand up, because they feel guilty. Who am I to stand up and tell them that homosexuality is wrong and that transgender is wrong? Who am I? I have my own set of problems, which God came for them to be healed, cleansed, and delivered, and us and everybody else. And not one thing makes a difference over the other, but it's part of the weakening of the church is because of the guilt of the sins that wasn't, you know, laid over to the Father, given to the Father. And I go back to the generational spirits and bloodline. A lot of things come where you have to break that and say, now I'm under the blood of Jesus Christ, and I break that curse and or that thing that's over our family, where my uncle, my father, and they all taught me, and we all do that, and that's just part of whatever. I don't want to name any name because I don't want anybody to think we're singling them out. We're not. This is just a general Christian conversation that needs to be had, that we need to address some of these things and not allow the secrecy of it to overtake the ministry part.
Right.
Where the people
and that's
suffering.
The problem. Yeah, and they keep it secret. You know, it was a good thing that James Robinson talk to somebody, you know, and even though that person was going through the same thing, that some, you know, they were still in the end able to to help each other. James ended up ministering to the guy after he got delivered, and then the guy he ministered to got delivered. So I want to say this to all the pastors that are out there right now, all the men of God, whether you're a pastor or not, just a Christian man, I just want to say right now, lift your hands up to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, with the authority that you have given me, I command that spirit of lust, I command that spirit of adultery and fornication to leave these men of God. I command them to leave, Lord. Give them strength to let go of these spirits. Give them strength to rebuke Satan. Give them strength, Lord, to submit to you more and resist the devil. Resist the demons. Give them strength, O Lord, to step in their place and walk the walk that you have laid out for them, to finish their course, complete the book that you have written for them. Give them strength in this hour, Lord, that they're not overtaken by these strongholds. Close the doors, the portals that these demons are trying to use in their lives to put them off course. Help them, Lord. Let your holy angels surround them and fill them up with your spirit, your thoughts, Lord, your mind. Fill them up, O God, so that they can be overcomers and that they will endure to the very end. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. It is done. Thank you, Lord. Receive it. Receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm so tired of reading in the paper and on the internet in different places.
Articles,
where
phone calls.
These ministries are destroyed because the pastor did this and the pastor did that with other women and all that. And some pastors struggling with homosexuality and all of that kind of stuff. And it's just destroying their ministry. It's destroying, well, it's not their ministry, it's destroying the ministry of Jesus Christ. And we just, we need strength. The men of God in this hour really need strength because these demons are trying to pour it on. They're really trying to pour it on. Mm-hmm. But you're stronger than that. You have the victory. You're not the victim. You are the victorious ones. We have the victory in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What do you think, Pastor?
Jesus died for all of that. That Jesus died for every part of that. It's
mm-hmm.
nothing.
Absolutely.
No type of beset that Christ didn't die for. And he understands and he sees it. And it has to cease
mm-hmm.
because you're responsible for so many people. And God bless you guys.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean that God didn't call you. He called you. It's just that the enemy wants to destroy you. So let go
right.
and allow God to cleanse you. Receive your cleansing and your healing that God has provided.
Yes.
Even for those that are in charge, those that are heads, leaders, and that are what all these names you guys call yourselves, bishops and apostles and all this stuff,
apostles
which
everything.
Doesn't matter. All of us are servants. All the servants
yes.
have to be cleansed. It's a cleansing time
mm-hmm.
that God has set in the earth for the church to purify itself for the presence of the Lord. And that's all we're praying right
Amen.
Now. That you guys be purified in Jesus'
Amen.
Holy name. By the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Not by might or all
Praise
power.
The Lord.
Just submission to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And God
yes.
bless you. We
All
love
right.
you guys. And tune in again. We'll be here.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Bye-bye.